I do have two questions. So what do you do with a scepter and what do you do with an orb?
Okay, well, a scepter is like the rod that you rule with. So it's about declaration, proclamation.
Okay.
You know, so it's really, you know, it's the sign that you have authority to decree, declare, call things that be not. Essentially, the practical, what you're doing, the scepter is the symbol of rule. The orb is the symbol of the authority to legislate. The scepter administrates legislation, and the orb makes it. So if you have an orb, you can go to the Court of Kings and you can actually make legislation that then gives you the authorization and the authority to release it. So a decree is made on the basis of legislation that's in place. Now, we have a whole lot of legislation that's already in place, like the Word of God. So we can always decree from the Word of God, because that we know is already legislated, and we can therefore use that as our authority for declaration. So we know if we say, I don't know, declare something on the basis of a scripture, okay, heaven is open. You know, we have an open heaven. Well, we can declare that on the basis that something is already agreed that, and we are then administrating what is already authorized. But we, as sons of God, have the authority to begin to legislate things. So we can make laws. And then we and others can operate from the authority of that legislation that's been made. And there's a process of legislation. You know, you produce the legislation, you get the legislation authorized in the Court of Chancellors, and then you get it brought into law in the Court of Scribes. But there may well be some steps where you, for us, for instance, I decreed a law. Wisdom took me into the Court of Kings, and I was sort of surprised. I was sat at a bench with a scroll in front of me, thinking, what do I do with this scroll? So I just engaged the scroll, and as I began to think, then the scroll began to get written in front of me. So then I wrote out what I wrote, or what was produced on the scroll. And then having that written out, wisdom took me to the Court of Chancellors, and I presented the scroll to the Court of Chancellors. And they debated it and talked about it, and then they sealed it with the lion and the seal, with the lion, the ox, and eagle. And then I then took it to the Court of Scribes, and I presented this sealed scroll, and they copied it into legislation. So it was like put on the statute books that this is now something that can be used to authorize things to be done. So you have now a policy, if you like, that's been agreed, that now gives you authority to do it. Now, I think when people listen to the word law, they tend to associate it with negative. But most laws aren't negative. Most things that a government does isn't negative. It's actually producing things which legislate the ability to do something, rather than the forbidding of something. There are some things that obviously we're not supposed to do, and they're on the statutes that authorizes the authority to say you can't do that, or if you do, then you're going to be suffering the consequences of doing it. But generally, that's not really what we're talking about when we're talking about legislation. We're talking about producing a governmental decree that gives us the authorization to act and the authority to do what it says. So, I mean, we were looking at this last night, in effect, in our group of 12, and talking about legislation, the difference between decrees, and there was a lot of questions we were sharing. And we had a law that I did, you know, several years ago. And what we did in that instance, once I had gone through this process, then I gave it to our bench and I said, look, this is something I did or was shown how to do. I don't really know what we do with this. So they were saying, well, okay, they read it. I thought, well, this sounds really good. We're not sure exactly what it means, but let's go into heaven and get a strategy. So we took it into the strategy court and we got a strategy. And that strategy was we write it out on a scroll. So I got a picture of a scroll, stick it in a Word file and wrote out as a scroll. And I think, okay, that's a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I produced. And then we then brought that scroll to our 12, printed it out 12 times, gave it to the group of 12 and actually asked them to take it away and to meditate on it and to see whether they felt in agreement with it. So they did. Next time we met, they brought it back, said, yeah, we agree with this. So then we all signed it. And then we then took the scrolls to corporately into the Court of Kings and we decreed it, or I decreed it on our corporate behalf. So that then finished off the process for us. And then we were then able to administrate according to it. And several things have taken place since that have been the result of us actually having that legislation in which to operate from. So now, you know, some of it is to do with engaging God and intimacy and fatherhood and sonship. And some of it's therefore then goes on to do the responsibility that comes as a result of sonship. And for us, it was about engaging the four faces of God. Now, this is several years ago before I really engaged in sort of the Yod Heh Vav Heh stuff. So I was given this and then we then work it out. So then when we began to hear the Yod Heh Vav Heh sound, it was like, all right, this is what we've been authorized to come into. So then we then started to engage with the four faces of God in our meetings and they started turning up and then we sort of got flags that represented them. And then that also then, one of the next things it says on this, it says, I call for a new dimension in the revelation of the ministry of the alignment of the four faces of God. And at that point in time, I didn't know what that meant. It was just words that we agreed that our spirits resonated with, but okay, well, what does that mean? What are we supposed to do? Well, in reality, what that allowed us to do was to engage king, prophet, apostle, priest, and redefine how we do ministry from the order of Melchizedek, when I'd never even thought about the order of Melchizedek like 3 years ago or whatever, in that way, then this was a precursor to what we're doing now. And then one of the other things it says, I decree a new foundational government be established by resonating with the sound frequency heaven that is calling for restoration. I'm like, okay. Well, actually, we're now operating according to that government. Whereas 3 years ago, we just got this, but we've now, over the last 3 years, outworked. And so now the last thing on here says, I decree a new kingdom government and a new season where lords rise up, take their heavenly positions and responsibilities and establish the new. Now, 3 years ago, we didn't have anybody on our mountains. Now we have all the mountains with benches. You know, so this was what established the legal right for us to then administer that. And so now when we begin to decree certain things about government, we do it on the basis of something that's been agreed and authorizes us to act. So that's really the orb is the sign that you can make legislation, and the scepter is the sign that you can administer that legislation. And depending on what level of authority you're operating in, some people will be doing more of the legislating and some people will be doing more of the administrating. And sometimes you do both. Not everyone at initial stage can go into the Court of Kings until they've been faithful operating in lordship on their own mountains and on any other benches or church mountains that they're on. Then you're given greater authority. And then that authority sphere may widen depending on what your overall spheres are. You know, that could come into a town, city, region, nation. So, you know, but it's unlikely that you're going to legislate for a nation before you've legislated for your own ecclesia or city. So there's a sort of a growth and maturity to it. That's really what those two symbols represent. But of course you have to do it, you know.
Yeah, so you've answered part of my second question. Well, how do you know what your authority, because I know you go and do things, legislate as a more of an individual, and then you have a legislation which within your ecclesia. How do you do that? And so, well, we actually did something on Sunday, and I'm kind of going, okay, we got part of the parts and pieces together. And so there was just a lot of distraction and disruption and just junk, you know, they're just like, what is going on? What is going on? And so, you know, then you have A Course of Dreams. You're trying to figure this out. And I'm doing all the regular things that I know to do. There's Mike.
Yeah.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know what my thing is doing. Just kind of vignette. Hang on. Let me see if I can fix it.
You look very pretty in your little
halo.
He's got a halo. Look, he's got a halo around him.
Yeah, I'm messing up. Hang on a second.
Go and carry on, Chris.
Yeah. And so I encountered a giant. And so, oh, okay. And then from the I took care of the giant and took it. And I go, what do you want me to do with it? And so I went to the trading floor. And Melchizedek grabbed me. And he took me into the mountain of God. And I walked in because I took the shield and the sword from the giant. And then I walked in and I went into a war room, a strategy room, and before that, earlier in the work, I had a 3-day encounter with the seven spirits of God, which in my room that I have never ever reached out, and they gave me something, and I reached out, and I took it in the natural. It was awesome.
Wow.
And I looked at myself and my husband, how can you sleep with all this going on? It was amazing. So I didn't know what this book was that I got from the Spirit of Might. Well, a couple days later, after I slayed the giant, went in, I was looking in. There was a glass library case in this war room, and I went and I go, why is there a spot missing? And it's because I had the book. And so when I looked at the book, kind of like your scroll, all of a sudden I could see in the spirit what was written down on each page. And so the first one was, well, you guys have crossed across the river, and you haven't dealt with anything over there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, all of a sudden I knew, and then it was the kings, and he goes, that's what you're coming up with, that's what you're feeling, because you're across the thing, and you haven't taken care of anything. And so I go, well, you know, all my basic excuses of, well, we're not all formed, we're not all this, and he goes, what's wrong with Sunday morning? And so I presented it and did that, and so we took care of the first one, the king of Jericho, and all of a sudden, you know, we're done. I said, we're going to do a court case. We have enough people here in agreement, da, 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 da. And all of a sudden people start, well, I had this dream, and we almost had every dream. We even had a dream that was somebody like Rahab, the city going up to the mountains, the Tyre. So it was so cool. It was really cool. But, you know, my other question to you is, like, I don't really know. I've experienced some courts, but I don't know where I'm at. And so that was kind of my question to you. I know that you said that you've gone and asked wisdom to figure out how to legislate. See, I'm already answering your question here. Yeah. But it's kind of like, is there any way that I could get more? I mean, just what you shared with me was extremely valuable for right where I'm at.
Yeah.
Well, knowing what you do individually versus corporately.
Sure. But I think it's basically the same process every day, because it's you are you, and you carry the government for your own life, for the ecclesia, for the region. There's that, but it's you. So you can, in a sense, engage different places as you with authority. So most of the time, my own personal stuff, I'm sort of, that's just gets taken care of in the mix, you know, because I've done a lot of preparation on that. So most of what I do is administrating at different levels. And I have a deal with God. In a sense, I'm going to seek first your kingdom, so you look after everything else. So, you know, that's my deal, and I'm expecting him to honor that. So I don't want any personal hassle. So we can focus on dealing with corporate and the other areas of responsibility that we have. So, you know, I go daily, and I mm-hmm. get my mandate for what I'm supposed to do today, and because I'm operating from legislation that's already been made and verdicts that have been passed in the court, then I know that I'm authorized and need to do things, certain things every day because I've been told to do it. So I'm operating on certain things which are, okay, I know today I'm going to do this. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do until I go to my throne. And when I sit down and I, in a sense, take the position of authority, then my spirit starts to release. I don't have to try and figure it out. My spirit just releases any declaration, decrees, prophecies I need to make because I'm in the position of authority and I have the legislation behind me, so I begin to administrate that. When it comes to something new, like I'm always looking for something new, so it's like, okay, I'm going to step into the presence of God. I'm going to engage the ark. I'm going to look into, you know, and I might look out from the, you know, the last few weeks I've been looking out from the lion's eye. So I see everything that's disordered. So I'm looking at God's perspective of, wow, there's so much disorder here, which then encourages me to, okay, if there's disorder, what is my role in bringing order? So sometimes I get some specific authorization. I'm obviously responsible for several nations that I've been involved with. So I'm continually thinking about the Northwest. You know, it's like, okay, and I'm also thinking about Germany. I'm thinking about the Southeast of the U.S. I'm thinking in my own nation about the Southwest. You know, we had a gathering on Sunday with another group that is, you know, the group that is of the other person of the bench. You know, we are now calling a third person of that bench because the other person's dropped out. So we're now legislating in our own region, which is, you know, the Southwest region, legislating some things. So we get together as a group, we worship, we engage heaven, we did a court case together for our region. You know, we released a declaration. I went and got a law from, you know, legislation from the Court of Kings, brought that. We agreed it in heaven together as a group. So, you know, there are things that, you know, I do at different levels, the different things, as I'm led by my spirit. You know, I don't sort of write down a list like, well, I need to do this, this, and this. I just go and do that which I feel called at any one point in time. Sometimes you just know, I need angelic wisdom in this, or I need angelic support, so I go and get some of that, or I send angels out. I'm continually sending out a sound to call people to cross over the river, cross the veil, so that I'm sending out that sound, you know, because those are the things that I've been authorized to do, and I sort of I'm directed by my spirit of what to do, when to do it. And, you know, I do that stuff when I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, alongside Christ, as he's alongside the Father, as the Ancient of Days in that area. I'm not doing that from my mountain in the realm of the Kingdom of God or even in the Kingdom of Heaven. I'm going to the place where I'm above the firestones where the river of fire is flowing. So this is about heavy duty stuff in that level. And there are very few people there. you know, in that level at this point in time. There are some, but not that many. Most people are still learning how to administrate their own mountains in lordship, and some people are engaging in levels of kingship as benches and in that area. But there are many more levels, depending on what you've been called to do. When I was given a Chancellor's Seal, it made a huge difference in the authority I just carried. You know, I felt it immediately. And I felt differently about it. Up to that point, I was almost like apprehensive and a little bit sort of, well, okay, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not really sure too much, you know. And it's like, I'm doing it, but I'm not really feeling like I do now. And I didn't do anything. I mean, it's not like, you know, I just received this sort of seal and this staff and started to just completely feel different. But I did take responsibility. You know, I took the responsibility seriously and began to engage wisdom. What does this mean? What am I supposed to do with it? Okay, you need to go back to the Firestone some more. You need to get deeper revelation of some things. You need to deal with this. And it's like I've sort of continued to grow in that, you know. And then the whole thing about, you know, the Galactic Council and all that stuff, it came, I wouldn't have been able to do that without knowing that I had access to the Chancellor's houses because I was given this seal. And wisdom helped initially, took me to all the 12 houses, engaged with each of the, you know, chief chancellors of those houses, went into them, started to explore what they understood. How does this work? How do these align? What is that going to do? And once I'd been in all of the 12 and had some measure of understanding, although some of it is still pretty much pretty wild and stuff I really can't describe too easily, although I'm sort of working on it. But then I then got this call, now you need to make this, you need to legislate this court case. Well, it was all a build-up of maturity, growth, and understanding of faithful with little, and then being entrusted with a little bit more and a little bit more, and then being faithful with that. And, you know, I can't say, looking back, that I understood the whole process when I started it, and I can't say I understood everything along the way. I just took steps of obedience, little steps, sometimes quite a large step, and it was like, whoa. But I've just grown and matured and feel different than I did. But I've sort of followed the journey, and you just let your spirit lead, and if you're open and you're willing and willing to pursue, then more and more will start to unfurl. Now, I don't know how many people or who is called to any of that stuff, whether everyone is and they're still on a journey, or whether some people are, and I don't know. I mean, that's not my business. It's God's business to what he gives to people to do or do. I just have to do what I'm called to do, and in doing it, it has changed things, you know, opened things, you know. You know, I wouldn't have, you know, 2 years ago, there's no way I would have come to the Northwest and did what I did when I came over there with you. I mean, it was like I just wouldn't have felt comfortable carrying or doing that. I would have sort of been, well, okay, well, who am I? And now I still think, well, who am I? It's just, well, I know what you say I am, so I'm going to act on that, you know, in the natural, I don't carry that. You know, I'm really very unassuming in normal life. I mean, I just, you know, because that's not a natural thing. You know, I don't naturally carry something like that. It's something God's given. And I just sort of go with it, basically. So, yeah, I mean, you'll grow in it and learn. You're great. I mean, the sort of getting things from the books, and that's where you start. You know, and some things are timing. You know, I went in to look at our book today for an Ecclesia, and, you know, saw a page that I saw a couple of years ago, and God said, you still haven't done this. And it wasn't like a rebuke. It was just like, you still haven't done it, and now you know the right time to do it. And I think, ah, yes, I do. Because we couldn't do it in our present situation. And it was like, okay. So sometimes you get things and they're there and they're there, then all of a sudden it opens up and you just know, and now we need to begin to act. So then I brought that to our Venture 3 this morning and we talked about it, and it's like, okay, what do we need to do with this? Okay, well, we need to get ready, we need to be prepared. So let's get a strategy for that preparation. Let's go from there. But the legislation is a key issue. And I mean, I'll give you an example of something that happened over the weekend. We, I'm obviously working through First Love, and I've been away for, 5 or 6 weeks, did something a couple weeks ago, and then went on holiday and, come back from holiday, did some things. And then this was the first time that I was going to do this thing. Now, coincidentally, or God incidentally, I was going to teach on fatherhood and sonship, as engaging the father. And of course, Sunday was Father's Day.
First day of summer, too.
Yeah, and so
it was a big day.
So the Bench of Seven sent an email out for their last minutes of their meeting, and it was like, oh, it would be really good if we could ask Mike if he would do something on fatherhood. So I thought, okay, well, they're seeing some stuff. So I have this law that came 2 or 3 years ago in terms of the law of fatherhood and sonship. So I have legislative authority. So I engaged that and did the teaching, and we had the encounter, and it was pretty intense. And that was it. I went home and, met with the rest of the family, and we had Father's Day meal or whatever, and that stood up. Well, there were a whole lot of people there from our rehabilitation unit who engaged this, and it absolutely took the lid off a whole mass of issues in their life. Well, what didn't take place was that the seven had wanted fatherhood and sonship, but they hadn't actually got a strategy about what they were going to do it when I delivered it. So they didn't put anything in place other than the usual sort of, well, we'll minister in the meeting and we'll minister in the worship, and if anyone wants to come forward and we'll pray and encourage people if they need someone to stand with them, that was okay. But they didn't actually think about consequences. Well, three of the guys who were part of the rehabilitation program, it just absolutely flipped them out. And so they basically went off and went on a bender, basically. Uh-huh. And so it was like, okay. And of course, then what do you do with that? Well, in the past, there will be sanctions, and they would have probably been thrown off the program. But because of what had happened, that was taken into account, and then that was used then to help them deal with what would come up. But if they'd legislated correctly, rather than just getting a sense of what should be done, and had put into place the things that needed to be done, or put into place protection or other things, then I think that could have probably been avoided. So yeah, there are consequences of outworking this. See, it's not my responsibility to do that. So I didn't. If I thought about it, I might have done, but I assumed that they were going to do it because they'd asked me to bring this message, and it was what God wanted me to bring anyway. But sometimes you have to be careful that when you legislate, there are consequences or things that happen that you need to actually have things in place for. And it was great because then last night we met as a 12, and we had the representative of the seven there, and we had our mountains there, and it was like, okay, let's review this. We're talking about legislation. We brought this law a few years ago. This has given us authorization to do this, but where did we fall down? And then one of them said, actually, I really felt God say to me I should have done this, and I didn't do it. I was like, okay, well, that's really good. Fine. Well, okay, next time you get something like that, actually make sure you follow it through and you don't hold back. And so we unpicked it and we looked at the thing with no condemnation or anything like that. Just, okay, let's review. Let's make sure next time that we're better prepared so that we can actually look at when we administrate something that we're ready for the consequences of what we do. So, you know, it's not just a, oh, great, we do a whole load of stuff in heaven and say a whole load of things. Actually, there's an earthly outworking of it that you have to be aware of and engaged with. So we're learning. You know, this is new for us. And, you know, we may well be sort of a few steps ahead of some places, but we're learning all the time. And, you know, we're going to make mistakes. You know, we're not going to get everything right. But you have to learn from those mistakes and learn to do it differently next time. So next time I get an email saying, will you do this? I'll email back saying, yeah, I will do it, but you need to make sure that everything's in place.
That's good.
Yeah. So. Okay. Mm. Right. Have you got anything, Mike, you want to ask and we'll share? Let's see your...
Sorry, yeah, I'm driving my wife to work right now, so
okay.
You may hear some background noise, but okay. Let's see. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something that that happened to me. Again, it hasn't happened to a major degree since, but I was working outside in the yard, and I had been pondering some things in my heart. And this voice started speaking to me, but it was speaking out loud. It's very different. And started answering the questions. And I'm saying, wait, this is myself. But I didn't know the answer to that question. And so we carried a conversation. I know it sounds very weird, but we carried a conversation for almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
And during the time, my spirit communicated to me, this is your spirit talking. And it was like he was teaching me truths and things that I didn't know. And so I went and did some studying. Immediately it came to me, wait a minute, no one knows the spirit of God, the mind of God, except the spirit of God, just as the spirit knows the mind of a man. And so I had a scripture, but then I started getting understanding. So I guess the thing is that I don't think that encounter was meant to be just a one-time deal. I know he gives me little forerunner experiences, and so I think that's what was happening there. Do you have any suggestions of how to, I guess, cultivate that, if that is even right? I just wanted to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, it's just going use that experience as your testimony to re-engage it. And you know, it may not necessarily happen out loud every time. That would be you know, you might, the men in white coats may come along trying to cut you off.
Exactly. Yeah.
but it's great. I mean, I talk to myself all the time. In a way. But I think your spirit, all the things you've been doing and all the activity that you've been pursuing has had and I've said this to you a number of times, it's had more effect than you actually think it has. Because your spirit
right.
has received so much more than your soul has yet received. So this is already the things that in your engagements that God has imparted to you. Some of it probably comes out of eternal wisdom in terms of your spirit in that way. But as you then release it, then it's then, A, put it into practice that which you've received, making sure that you treat it with that sort of respect and that it's worthy of. Don't just say, wow, and then leave it. Make sure that what you've received, that you get hold of, that you work that through. And then continue to go back into it. I mean, well, how do you
right.
get, we'll do the same thing. Ponder in your heart and just look to engage your spirit. I mean, it's what I do all the time. It just when my spirit your spirit has been getting stronger and stronger through what you've been practicing to get you to the point where it can actually engage with your soul and encompass it in the way it did.
Right.
And engage with you. Because it's like I talk about, getting your spirit to, go through your gates and engage, of creating an atmosphere around you. Well, my spirit, when I first started doing everything, didn't have the capacity to do that. And it's like, when you blow a balloon up, it takes a lot of effort to get the balloon and the rubber to stretch initially. And little children, when they try and blow balloons, they just don't often have the lung capacity developed to get over the inertia of the rubber. Once you've right. got that energy into it, and it expands, it keeps expanding the more you put into it.
And yeah, one of the things he said was is that he's been there the whole time speaking to me. It's just that I've never recognized it.
Absolutely, yeah. But your spirit has.
Right.
Your spirit has received what he has been speaking to you and has grown as a result of it. And now your spirit is able to engage at a larger level. You got stronger spiritual muscles to engage your soul. And eventually you will find that your spirit will encompass your body and you'll all come into harmony and wholeness. And that's where I am right now. It almost like crept up on me, all the activity and engaging my gates and practicing, flowing it all through the different gates, all that stuff. In the end, it now just happens.
Right.
Like my soul doesn't get in the way, it cooperates. My soul, I just do things, my spirit leads. I'm not consciously aware of making decisions, but I'm doing things because my spirit and soul work together and my body just goes along with it. I don't have to do what I did, was I need to make a conscious decision of my will and choice here to activate this and do it. I just find myself doing a lot of things without any conscious decision. Now, I've made a choice because my choice gate has agreed with whatever was going on with my spirit, and it was yes, but it wasn't conscious anymore because now my spirit and soul are working together. But it's taken quite a long time to get to the point where that's all flowing. But now it does. And it's a huge change when I think, wow, I feel differently about it. So, all that you've received, now start to actually then engage your soul with it to bring it into the light, and therefore your soul can then come into agreement to outwork it. So it's great. I mean, that's a really powerful testimony.
It was kind of difficult to think about trying to tell people about it, but I've only told a few, my wife and a couple of close friends, but they all received it well,
Yeah.
I think, like you said, I think we talk to ourselves, and I that's one thing that was revealed to me during that, is that the Father, Son, and the Spirit all commune together. They communicate together, and that we have been somewhat, I think in the fall, fractured and separated and segregated and instead of being one entity which God designed, we are working three independent entities, especially a fallen state. And I think that's one of the unions that God wants to reestablish in us.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think, that's how I feel. I feel one. Like I've never ever felt before. And that doesn't mean you're perfect. So, I still mess up at times and whatever. But I know that things have changed because of all the work I put in and all the discipline of training my spirit and the practice and seeing it flow through the gates and all the things that I did over and over and over again for a long time. Now the fruit of that is evident in how it works. So, and the revelation then my spirit gets engaged in heaven then flows. Because the next step for that is, it's like I join myself to the Lord in my first love gate, I yoke myself to Jesus, Father comes and sits on the seat of government of my life, and I'm in him, therefore I can have that atmosphere of the kingdom being joined with him in one spirit. So it's my spirit, his spirit engaging around me in that way. But my actual spirit, I step into the realm of heaven and I try and stay there as long as I can. So then I have my spirit in heaven and my soul here on earth doing everything I need to do, but connected. Sometimes my spirit is doing things my soul is not aware of, and sometimes it's doing things my soul is aware of, depending on where I fix my eyes of my heart towards. And if I'm focused on, let's say, preparing a message or something, then I'm doing that, but my spirit is in heaven feeding the revelation to me to be enable me to do it. Because I can see what the Father's doing and flow from it without having to turn my soul's eyes away from what I'm doing here, because my spirit's engaging there. And that's then the next step, is that you're engaged in heaven in your spirit, and you're therefore a gateway of that flowing into the earth, but you don't have to be consciously aware of what you're doing. And actually, you know, when I go to sleep, I send my spirit, you know, there, and I surrender to God and say, okay, if you want to use me tonight for anything, I'm here. And sometimes, you know, I do remember some things, and sometimes I just wake up and things are in my mind or whatever. But what I found is that people have actually been saying to me, well, I saw you, you know, in the realm of heaven, and you were doing this and this and this. And I'm sort of like, oh, that's really interesting. Tell me what I was doing. Because I have no recollection of doing it in that way. So in that way, you know, my spirit is actively engaged in that realm, and my soul engaged with this realm doing things at the same time. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, and I think you're also connecting with what was. So your spirit is engaging in the heart of God, in what was. So you're beginning to, as you say, you already see it. You already know it's coming because it already is in the heart of God, and you're connecting up with the heart of God in a different way that gives you that assurance. And you know, once you, again, you'll learn that you can step back into that and choose to go back in to look into what was, and then you can then deliberately bring that into what is yourself to begin to administrate it. Because you're sensing what God is doing, but you will have a part to play in your aspect of bringing what was into what is, and therefore enabling what to will be to align with what was, because you're seeing it and you're feeling it, and that will empower you. You know, because there's nothing different when you know that you know that you know, you have an empowerment that is totally different from hoping something, you know. So it's great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 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 No. Inspiration. Yeah. Awesome. I did. Yeah, I sent it out. I sent it out on the YouTube, on the Google Plus channel, and with an email to the email address. You should have got it as an email to that address. Yeah. Well, I think Kristen got it. Yeah, I sent it out on Saturday. Yeah, sure. Okay. But we should be back now into normal. Yeah, we should be back into normal schedule. So, yeah, for a while, yeah. So, yeah, well, good. Thanks, man. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's been good connecting up anyway. And, you know, and it's been having seen you and met you personally, it's great to, you know, continue the relationship. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But it was good, and you know, I you know, feel still strongly the significance of the Northwest and what's going to take place there. And you know, my encouragement is, you know, just keep going and keep persevering and pressing in, and you know, follow, keep on the journey. You know, it's the key. It is a journey, and there's a time to it, and we can keep on that journey and continue to experience those things, you know. So yeah, keep going with it. Okay.
Good to see you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your icon.
Yeah. Your icon. Okay, awesome. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can't explain that. I sent it out with all the others. You know, I'll do it again next time. But let the others know that we're back into a schedule now. So, okay. Yeah. Okay, no problem. All right. Yeah. Bye bye. Okay.
You're right. Good. So, you got anything else?
Would it be like I said that I don't like you say the Chancellor's Court? Well, I don't know if I've actually been there.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple of places, like you say, the Court of Scribes. I go to places just because Jesus takes me there, but I don't have a problem with engaging. Is I don't know where I'm at.
Well, the thing to do is to engage with Jesus in the encounter and ask him.
Okay.
So either ask him at the time or subsequently when you're engaging personally with him, ask him, can you show me where that was? And so that you get a map. That's what happened to me. I had so many experiences of different places that I didn't know where they were. So I would then journal my experience and then I would then take that in my personal time with God, and I would be sitting with him and saying, can you tell me where that was? Where was that? What was it about? How do I understand that? As I say, wisdom helped me a lot in some of these protocols and different things in understanding. But that's you know, what I would say is, and then cultivate the desire of your heart to engage the places. If you know something exists, then you can cultivate the desire of your heart to go there. Mm-hmm. I did that a lot in terms of, you know, set my focus on it, think about it. Okay, what goes on in the Chancellor's Court? I need to think about that. How does it function? I'd start just thinking about it and the desire of my heart would be drawn towards it and then it would open up. Sometimes the cloud of witnesses turn up there at those courts and there's a sense of expectation because they're waiting for you to operate in authorized mandates and different things. But, you know, but if you, for instance, if you want to legislate something, then engage by faith. It's like, okay, there's a court of kings. I've been given an orb. So I'm going to take that orb and I'm going to engage the Court of Kings and step into it, you know.
And I see something, and I see you know, like people sitting around an oval table and it feels like there's 20 people. I mean, I get some of the perspectives of what's going on. As I, you know, I don't know that it'd be kind of nice to know, you know, where I am, you know. There's this one place that seems, well, it seems like it sits on the outside of the Galactic Council, but in there are the few men in white linen that I've actually had the face contact with, and I go, oh, this is who's sitting here, and it just seems like a separate room.
Mm. Yeah. Well, some of those things, again, it's like, as you go back into it and you re-engage it, then you just need to try and ask questions, and go to wisdom sites and ask wisdom, will you take me to this place and explain the protocol here? What was that? Why was I taken there? Is there something I need to know? Is there something I need to do? But if you choose to engage, it's like and some of it comes down to mandates. You know, when you're called to legislate a mandate, for instance, you know, if you're going to get together with the other guys for the Northwest, you're going to have to do some legislation. So actually getting a mandate to do that, then you can take that mandate as your authorization to go to the Court of Kings. So it's just like, okay, by faith, I am going to step into the Court of Kings to legislate. And I'm going to have a scroll and I'm going to release legislation on that scroll. So you set the agenda because you're authorized to do it and you then step in to do it. I mean, I did this on Saturday. in this gathering that we had on Saturday, because I felt authorized, I stepped into the Court of Kings and I took a scroll and I produced a law for our region. Now, I just knew that I could do it because that's why we were gathered, and I received a mandate to do it. So I just did it. It wasn't a visual, very visual encounter. I didn't need that. I just needed to get down what was on the scroll. So I basically had my tablet and I wrote down as I was in the engagement, the legislation. Didn't even need, my eyes weren't closed. I was looking at what I was doing, but I was totally connected. My spirit was totally connected there, but I was here writing down in real time what was going on. So I didn't even need the, okay, I'm closing my eyes and I'm going to have the encounter in that way, because then I would have had to have tried to remember what it was and written it down afterwards. I just engaged my spirit into that court and then wrote down what was happening while it was happening, because I now learned how to do that, because I chose to do it. I chose to engage the legislation and write it out. But my spirit was directing what to write.
It's so in that what you say. So I go to the Ark, and that's where I'm submitting, and I want to do your will, and that seems like just a that's where I go for the day. Yeah. And then sometimes the mandate will show up. Sometimes God's hand will come through, and you actually see Him write it. And then I go okay, this is what we're supposed to do. And then I take that to whatever that it is that wants to do, and it doesn't seem to get done. And I'm going, it doesn't seem to, this is what I sensed, to do today. And there's a little discussion, and I ask people, well, what did you bring in? What did you, ask God? And it's not getting there. So I feel like I'm still doing a little recruiting to say, well, we need to prepare ahead of time before we come together so that we can bring in our part and our piece.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I think you have to then, you just have to, in a sense, openly, honestly say that. I think we need to be a little bit more focused and say that and talk about it. Well, I think, and that's part of the process and the journey in working with other people. And it's realizing also that they may not function the same way as you do. So they may well get their mandate when you step in. And the act of you getting the authorization to step in will open the door for them to go in and engage. So you may open the door for that engagement because you went and got the mandate. You don't necessarily need three mandates to step in. You just need one that three people operate under. You just encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to legislate something. We're going to go into the Court of Kings and we're going to find the blueprint for our region or whatever it might be, or for calling up where the city of refugees going to be that we need, whatever you feel authorized to do. And then you go and step in together, and then you step out together, and then you share what you've encountered, and you put that all down, and then you weigh it together, and then you see what should we do, and what do we need to do now as a result of this? Is there anything practical? Is there anything, again, we need to go back into heaven to do? Do we need to assign angels? You then seek for what is the outworking of what we've just done. But the key is to be open and honest. Any frustrations you feel, share them. Give each other permission to share. It's early days. It's like it took us months to get to the point where, hey, we're really comfortable with each other. We're comfortable with how we do things differently, and how we share things and how that gets at work. So, you're on the way. And it'll get, more comfortable working with others and understanding what they're saying and doing and understand how they function. Because you don't want to be clones. You want to function the way you do individually, but you just want to make sure that you actually establish something and do something. I mean, it's like, yeah. And if the things, oh, hey, we're going to get together today just to establish some relationships. So we're going to talk about our life. We're going to share our life story. We're going to, you know, that's equally as valid. Mm-hmm. Finding out about each other, you know, because that's part of relationship and helping to understand each other is to know those things and to be familiar and knowing more about each other in those things. So that's all part of the journey, I think. So. Anyway.